Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 2004. This is issue number 227, and I'm your host, Fred Bobe, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, that's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 419-228-6223. If you live in the United States of America or Canada, the cost of a subscription is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rate. Tapes are sent by a first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org/member, all small letters, and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Well, on this issue, and since it's the second issue of 2004, we have a lot of information, so let's switch it right over to Bill Hale with a look at the AM Switch.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome to AM Switch for February 2004. Call letter changes this month. WGSE 720 in Hogansville, Georgia has changed calls to WVCC. The 830 station in Orange, California, KPLS, now goes by the calls of KMXE. 950 KCCO in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, is now KSNB, Sports and Business. 1050 WFOG in Norfolk, Virginia, is now WCMS and Classic Country Format. 1050 in Dishman, Washington, KDRK, now goes by the calls of KEYF and is parallel with the FM station KEYF-FM 101 in Cheney with an oldies format. WKSI 1250 in Washington Courthouse, Ohio, now goes by the calls of WCHO. 1290 WJBR in Wilmington, Delaware, is now called WWTX and goes by the ticket. They're affiliated with Fox Sports. KTZR in Tucson, Arizona, on 1450, now goes by the calls of KWFM as Cool 1450 AM with an oldies format. 1530 WOBS in Jacksonville, Florida, has changed to WYMM. And 1660 WBHE in Charlotte, North Carolina, their calls are WFNA, and they go by the slogan, The Franchise. Here's a reminder for those of you living near any of these stations which have had call changes. Make a good quality recording of a legal ID and send it to John Bowker, P.O. Box 5192, Sun City Center, Florida, 33571-5192, or email those MP3s to him at jbowker@tampabay.rr.com. That's jbowker@tampabay.rr.com. Grants for new stations, 675 kilohertz in Tumuning, Guam, has been granted 10,000 watts day and night non-directional. You never know, those West Coasters might pick this guy up on that split frequency. A new station in Silver Springs, Florida, WKTT, goes on the air, 1210 kilohertz. They've got 5,000 watts during the day, 250 watts directional at night. And a new 1340 station has been granted in Welch, West Virginia. They've been granted 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. Construction permits, which have been reported on the air, KMIA 710 in Black Canyon City, Arizona, is on the air with 22,000 watts days, 3,900 watts at night, using two different patterns. WKTW in Gannett, Pennsylvania, has moved from 1530 to the new spot on the dial. 770 has 750 watts during the day, nothing at night, non-directional. By the way, they've moved to the 400-foot tower of co-owned WKHB 620 in Irwin, Pennsylvania. 1150 KNRC in Englewood, Colorado, is now on with 10,000 watts days, 1,000 watts nights, using two different patterns. KQQQ 1150 in Pullman, Washington, is now on with 11,000 watts during the day, 27 watts at night, all non-directional. WXYT 1270 in Detroit has been reported to be on with their new 50,000 watts day and 50,000 watts at night from nine new towers southwest of Motown. Both patterns show an awful lot of power to the north-northeast, which will cover Detroit quite well. KXTK 1280 in Arroyo Grande, California, is now on with 10,000 watts days, 2,500 watts at night, using two different patterns. WDMJ in Marquette, Michigan, on 1320, the station goes from three towers at night to only one, 5,000 during the day, 135 watts at night. KNTX 1410 in Bowie, Texas, has increased their night power and dropped the nighttime directional antenna operation. They're now 500 watts during the day, 150 watts at night, non-directional. WAZN 1470 in Massachusetts has relocated the city of license from Marlborough to Watertown, and they're now on the air. Their towers are co-located with WTTT 1150 at 75 Concord Avenue in Lexington. Their powers are 1400 day, 3400 watts at night, and they use two different patterns. And thanks to Dan Strasberg for emailing that message to me. Moving on now with grants to existing facilities. WLIE in Islip, New York on 540 gets an increase to the day power level, becoming 2500 watts during the day, 220 watts at night, two different patterns. WMIN in Hudson, Wisconsin on 740 has been granted daytime only operation with 1100 watts directional. WEFL in Tequesta, Florida on 760 increases the day and night power levels and adds a tower to become 3500 watts during the day, 1500 watts at night, two different patterns. 840 KKNX in Eugene, Oregon has been granted a CP to reduce the night power and relocate their transmitter site. The new facilities will be 1,000 watts during the day, 110 watts at night, non-directional. KICY 850 in Nome, Alaska has been granted 50,000 watts day and night with non-directional, 50,000 watts during critical hours using a directional pattern. KJON Carrollton, Texas on 850. This CP covers a move of approximately 130 miles from Anadarko, Oklahoma to this Dallas suburb. The facilities will be 5,000 watts during the day, directional. WFDF 910 in Flint, Michigan will be 50,000 watts day, 1,000 watts at night using two different patterns from a two-site operation. KXEB Sherman, Texas on 910 will be 1,000 watts day, 500 watts at night using two different patterns, plus a change of city of license to Frisco. WIQB 1050 in Conway, South Carolina has been granted 25,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night, using two separate patterns. WIXC 1060 in Titusville, Florida. This is an amendment to the current construction permit covering critical hours operation. The CP now covers 50,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night, and critical hours power of 17,000, and they will use three different patterns. KBMR Bismarck, North Dakota on 1130 has been granted night service to become 10,000 watts day, 24 watts at night, all non-directional. WNWC in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin on 1190, their CP is to increase day power, delete a tower, and an adjustment to the pattern. When built, they will become 4,800 watts during the daytime with a directional pattern. 1210 in Centralia, Illinois, WILY, after having its application initially denied, station has resubmitted, and this time the FCC has granted 10,000 watts during the day, 1,100 watts during critical hours, and nothing at night. They'll be using two different patterns. WIMO 1300 in Winder, Georgia, will reduce all powers to become 650 watts during the day, 50 watts at night from a new location. KEBC 1340 in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma has granted a city of license change to Midwest City. KCOH 1430 in Houston will add a tower for increased night coverage with a new pattern. There'll be 5,000 watts in the daytime, 1,000 watts at night using two patterns. WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina on 1450 will increase the tower height and lower both day and night power levels to become 970 watts day and night, non-directional. WCHJ 1470 in Brookhaven, Mississippi has been approved for 1,000 watts a day, 66 watts at night, non-directional. N1580 WKUN in Monroe, Georgia. The log shows a construction permit for 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional, but the CP also covers a move to 1490. Applications for new stations. WGSM in Huntington, New York is applying for a relay in Queens under the calls of WG2XSM on 740. Facilities will be 250 watts during the day, 4 watts at night, all non-directional. For you locals, the transmitter coordinates are near the corner of Union Street and Sanford Avenue in Flushing. A new station on 760 in Las Vegas, they've been approved for 1,000 watts a day, 930 watts at night, two different patterns. 1060 Union Gap, Washington, they're asking for 16,000 watts during the day, 1,500 watts at night, and the night pattern is aimed at 295 degrees, which is up towards Seattle. By the way, Union Gap is on the south edge of Yakima. There's been an application for a synchronous station, which has been accepted by the FCC, although I haven't been able to get any power or antenna information from them. It's KHBC in Hilo, Hawaii. They want to put in a synchronous station at Captain Cook, which is on the opposite side of the island. There's been one station which has had their license dismissed. That's KKFO in Coalingo, California on 1470. Those call letters, KKFO, have been now deleted. Stations reported to be silent during the past month, WSTN 1410 in Somerville, Tennessee, and KENT 1170 in Honolulu, Hawaii. Some Canadian news, CKYR 1450 in Jasper, Alberta, will be abandoning the AM band for 95.5 megahertz on the FM band with 95 watts. Some odds and ends, KVLH 1470 in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, which is listed as silent in the AM log, has been logged with a full ID and being parallel to KIXO-FM Sulphur, Oklahoma. So scratch out the silent in your log, and they're on with an AC format and CBS News. Finally, WAUR Sandwich, Illinois on 930 has been sold to Starboard, which runs the relevant Radio Catholic format, and I suppose we can expect a format change from them soon. Well, that's AM Switch for February 2004. Now it's on to say hello to John Bowker. National Radio
Club. Well, thanks, Bill Hale, and hello, everyone, from the sunny banks of Tampa Bay. This is the segment where I get to play for you some recordings that we've made over the past 30 years, more or less. These are stations at a selected dial position, and I call these each month, by the way, from over 13,000 recordings of legal station IDs that we have in the database. Now, nearly a third of those recordings have been contributed by listeners to the audio service travelogues over the years. And some of you newer subscribers, of course, won't have ever heard the story. When I retired in 1987, my wife and I bought a motorhome, and in the next 12 years, we traveled just 96,300 miles across this United States, trying to get within 35 miles of every community in the 48 states, and we did do that. We had 7 boomboxes with recorders, and every hour on the hour, we stopped. And so that's where most of these station breaks come from that you hear on the travelogue. But Linda and I are now fully retired, and we simply can't travel as we used to. So if you notice any of our IDs from your area missing, perhaps, or out of date, seriously, boy, I'd sure like to get an update from you so we can add to the collection for the audio service. I'll give you my mailing address at the end of the travelogue. Okay, 850 this month. This is a U.S. Clear Channel, and actually there are 2 stations operating with 50,000 watts day and night, but only one uses a single antenna tower, and that suggests, of course, that its energy is sent out equally in all directions. We're going to be hearing from that station maybe next month. But we're going to start in New England, as we often do, and this will be sounds from the only other 50,000-watt transmitter at 850 on the dial that operates day and night with that power, at least. In fact, this first one isn't even there anymore as we start the DX Audio Service travelogue for February 2004.
And that's where you are, and you are the ninth caller, and what is your name?
They came on the air in the early 1930s with a directional signal that kept them from being heard clearly in the western suburbs of Boston. Weak signals out in Framingham and Worcester, for example, but they toughed it out with local programming during the heyday of AM radio. They were a rock music station on the fringe edge of things, but in fact, this next cut is unlike anything I've heard anywhere else.
Everything at WHDH must go. Incredible markdowns as WHDH has been sold, and everything must go to the bare wall. Save like never before on these quality call letters, up to 50% off W. Buy one H, get the second one free. Everything is moving out the door, including Rush Limbaugh and Howie Carr. Moving to the talk station, AM 680 WRKO, August 29th. Everything at HDH must go.
Hello, I'm Steve Dodge, chairman of American Radio Systems. I like Howie and Rush so much, I bought the company.
Howie and Rush move to WRKO August 29th as HDH closes its doors forever.
Paul Burkhart brought us those 2 IDs from WHDH, by the way, and thanks, Paul. In fact, we were all meeting for our annual convention in New Hampshire when this next event took place. Way down the dial at 590 kilohertz, the traditional CBS station in Boston decided to make some changes. And as they said on the air over and over, we're going to be broadcasting all sports all the time, and we're going to boost our power to 50,000 watts. Now, how did they do that? Easy. They bought WHDH that already had a 50,000-watt license in the Boston market. They affiliated themselves with a station in Worcester to fill in the local hole I had mentioned earlier. And there they are, big as life, up at 850 on the dial.
WEEI!
If your radio sounds funny in the morning, you must be listening to Imus in the Morning on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sports Radio.
Pats lose in a shootout. I'm Bob Schufreiter with the 8 o'clock WEEI news update brought to you by U.S. Air.
Sounded simple to the radio audience, I'm sure, but oh, the intricacies of it all. Well, we're going to have to move on, but wonder of wonders, there's still another New England station at 850 to hear from, and as you might have guessed, this next station is to the south and west of Boston, right where WHDH wasn't and where WEEI isn't.
AM 850, WREF, Ridgefield, Danbury, Wilton. NBC Radio News, good morning. Something to think about on this Labor Day, as far as state and local government workers union president Gerald...
I always enjoy playing as much of the NBC sounders as I can, since I was affiliated in one way or another with NBC for about 37 years. Now, I remember as a high school senior eagerly awaiting the sign-on of two brand-new radio stations in Albany, New York. And the day arrived. WXKW came on the air from the Hotel Tonight in downtown Albany at 8:50 on the dial. And by the way, a few days later, WPTR at 1540 came on the air. That was back in May of 1948. WXKW was operating with 10,000 watts during the daytime hours, but at night they had to protect Cleveland to the west and Montreal to the north, Boston to the east, of course, and Reading, Pennsylvania to the south. And in 2 years or so, they were gone, and we never had a recording of them, unfortunately. So we have to travel a few miles from Albany to hear our next 850 station. This is one in Penn Yan, New York, and I'm sorry we don't have a cleaner ID from them.
AM 850, WYLF, Penn Yan, Canandaigua, Geneva.
Terrorists again rock Northern Ireland.
And in west central Pennsylvania, we find the historic city of Johnstown. With its 850 station, this one came on the air in 1925.
This is WJAC, Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
By the year 2002, Linda and I were entertained by the following sounds at 850 in Johnstown. More and more, by the way, we've noticed dual IDs on stations all over our travels.
850 WSPO Johnstown and 990 WVSB Somerset.
And this past summer, while traveling through the panhandle of Maryland, we were surprised at how well the newest version of that station sounded. After all, there was a range of mountains between where we were and Johnstown.
Classic country hits are on 990 WVSC Somerset and 850 WLYE Johnstown.
AP Network News, I'm Carlotta Bradley.
Did you notice that the Somerset station got first billing? Well, anyway, let's stay in the Commonwealth, but move east toward the Philadelphia region.
AccuWeather says rather cloudy and damp today with some rain this afternoon. Details coming up right here on your news leader, WEEU in Reading. It's 8 o'clock.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning. I'm John Belmont.
Now, of course, WEEU is down at 8:30 on the dial these days, having moved from 8:50, about 5 years ago. Well, this next historic call sign disappeared from the Delmarva market years ago and hasn't reappeared anywhere else.
Around 81, no chance of rain. 73 on the peninsula, 72 at WRAP Norfolk.
And wouldn't you think WRAP would be a great set of call letters? That's a wrap on WRAP. I can hear it now. but disappear it did when the station decided to go all news and information.
Wednesday, mostly sunny and cooler with a high around 80. Winds north at 15 miles per hour. We have 73 on the south side, same deal peninsula. Time of the tone, 8 o'clock. It's time to move your home or office at Lynn North American. Call them up for an estimate. The number to call, 460-2226.
The big one.
News Radio 850 AM, WNIS, Novin.
Bring that thing, babe.
Bob Dole, angry that President Clinton stole his welfare reform thunder. Saddam Hussein upstages Congress in lowering gas prices. Another day of scorching heat in the east. Good Tuesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
Isn't it interesting that the news headline topics hardly change from year to year? But the station call letters change, and here we find the Norfolk 850 station finally coming up with a meaningful set of call letters for their locale.
Listen to hosts Carol Scott and Joseph Roberts, because your business matters. Rising Star Business and WTAR bring you Your Business Matters at its new time, every Friday night at 6.
Talk Radio, 850 WTAR, Norfolk.
CNN Radio News. I'm Mike Cunningham. Wildfires are burning in every state of the West. The worst fire season in half a century.
Righto. We move further south along the Atlantic coastline now, arriving at the state capital of North Carolina, a city of just over 300,000 people. And they have 23 radio stations serving that marketplace. Here was one of them 15 years ago.
85 WKIX, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, a Metroplex communication station.
By 1995, we had updated the collection by passing through town and picking up Imus in the Morning on The Buzz.
Imus in the Morning.
WRBZ, Raleigh.
Fine. Dipping down into the Peachtree State next, we find a 1 kilowatt station about 50 miles in from the Atlantic Ocean, not far from Savannah.
You're listening to WPTB here in Statesboro, Georgia.
You know, they have the kind of format I'd enjoy producing myself. Some talk, some music, maybe even some listeners. I don't know for that kind of all-service programming these days. Well, we're going to cross the St. Mary's River now, and within an hour, we're seated in the stands at what they call the Swamp. That's the University of Florida football stadium in Gainesville.
I'm Marianne Callagy. Stay tuned. An update from CBS News is next.
CBS News on AM 850 WRUF Gainesville is brought to you by Florida Credit Union.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. On the heels of the warning that more terrorist attacks could be imminent, a new tape message has surfaced on Al Jazeera satellite television.
And by driving another 4 or 5 hours to the south, we come to West Palm Beach on the Atlantic side of the state. Now, Linda's and my first visit there was in 1985, and this is what we heard.
It's a minute after 4 o'clock at 85, WCGY, West Palm Beach. Good afternoon, I'm Stephen Harlow Hise.
A year or two later, we landed there, and while taxiing to the ramp, I caught this ID from inside the airplane.
The number to call if you need help getting home, 344-1414. I'm Paul Dunn, WEAT, AM and FM West Palm Beach, a part of your South Florida lifestyle.
And things have changed since we were last in West Palm Beach. And it's a 5-hour drive, but maybe I can talk my lovely wife, Linda, into coming over with me, and we'll make a day of it and go over and record the station at 850 in West Palm Beach. Say, there is one thing I would like to just get away from the travelogue for a minute, and I'm wondering if all the Clear Channel stations around the country have changed their IDs, as has WFLA here in the Tampa Bay region recently. It's a strong ID. Here's the WFLA ID at the present time.
Knowledge is power. News Radio 970 WFLA, Tampa Bay, USA.
4 o'clock, good afternoon, Don Richards, News Radio 970 WFLA.
I'm delighted to have that kind of radio in the Tampa Bay region here on the Gulf Coast of Florida. So if, you know, I'd just like to get any comments about Clear Channel and how they're behaving in your neighborhood, because they sure take a lot of hits, don't they? Oh, dear. Okay. Remember, I can't do this travelogue all by myself, and every time Bill Hale comes up with a change of call sign for some station, it means the travelogue collection is out of date in that community. Now, my mailing address is John Bowker, I spell that B-O-W-K-E-R, Post Office Box 5192, Sun City Center, Florida, 33571, 5192. I'll look forward to hearing from you, and we'll have to say so long for now, but how about one more blast from today's 50-kilowatt giant? Yes, things from the past. It's all yours, Mark.
By Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, looking to buy a home.
Mark Dernberger here. We're in Torrey, Utah, just outside Capitol Reef National Park. And I'm sitting on the edge of a cliff with my feet hanging over, with a 2010 in my lap, a Kiwa Loop near my left leg, and the mini disc recorder here, as we see what the clear channel frequencies sound like on this mid-April night in the year 2002. I thought I'd scan the band for you. This is an area that not a lot of us have had a chance to report from. We are in south central Utah, and it's an area that is, in some respects, a vast wasteland, and in other respects might provide some surprises. Starting at 640, of course, it's KFI.
That's Uncle, M-A-T-T-Y.com. Uncle Matty's proud.
You know, there aren't many things in a car that are more important to your safety.
Let's go up to 650. Well, 650 is kind of a splattery mess here. See if I can bring this up a little bit better. The ball game in there is from KMTI in Manti, Utah. And they are directional, of course, protecting Nashville. But they're in there, along with some sideband splatter. Let's see what's causing the sideband stuff. Let's go up to 660. And, of course, there it is. And that's our local 50-kilowatter, KTNN. Window Rock, Arizona, the voice of the Navajo Nation. 50,000 watts, major lobe heading in our direction. All right, let's go up to 670.
You're going to invite massive competition. And many of these groups, knowing that there was
tune that in a little bit with the loop.
Change in 96, allowing them to own an unlimited number of stations, were planning to spend millions and millions of dollars to create monopolies. And all of a sudden, the prospect of digital broadcasting would then cut apart their monopoly they had just spent millions of dollars for. So immediately, the NAB changed tune, and they said, no.
This opinion is coming to you from the station in Denver.
And the other countries have proved it works for digital radio. We want to put some money into research and see if we can make digital radio work on the current AM and FM stations. The quality of the AM station that people are listening to us right now, if that AM station adopted this digital concept, their audio quality on their AM station would be half of what it is right now.
Well put, mister.
A little better than a telephone call, which is about 3,000 cycles.
All right, we could stay here all night with this IBOC discussion, but let's move up to 680 and...
Oh, yeah.
We'll have no problem bringing in KNBR in Oakland. Let's tune it a little
bit. You know, Roscoe Nance was out here with the USA Today for Jason Richardson, Gilbert Arenas, Troy Murphy, kind of rookie diary all 6 months. The media is something you look forward to.
That's an easy one, isn't it?
Tolerated, or you got better at it?
It's a beautiful night here under the stars. It's chilly.
I think I dealt with a lot of media
in mid-April, where we are, just outside Capitol Reef National Monument. Let's go up to 700. There's a station in Salt Lake City, North Salt Lake City, actually, that plays country on top of WLW, and that's easy to copy tonight. We're only a matter of 100 miles or so, I think, from Salt Lake City. And my geography may be off, but it isn't a whole lot farther than that, and there's the answer. All right, let's see what 710 sounds like tonight. It's probably a graveyard out here, but maybe not. Well, we're pulling somebody in from the south. All right, let's go to 720. And here we bring in KDWN in Las Vegas.
It made, apparently, from what he said, and it had made 10 trips across the Atlantic.
That I didn't know. I know there was definitely was. This time with New York.
Okay, let's go up to 750, WSB's former Clear Channel. And here we're doing KOAL in Price, Utah. And since KOAL protects Atlanta, their signal is beaming in this direction. And that's very obvious, isn't it? Although there is another station in there, a Spanish station.
Price and participation may vary.
Well, the Jazz hanging in there with the Utah Jazz. That's KOAL and Price at 750. Let's go to 760 and see if we can copy KFMB in San Diego. We're perhaps far enough west to be able to do that.
Hi, I'm Sandy D. Better from Tour Talk Radio. Please join me for Washington Hour Travel and Information Radio. Remember, keep Sunday morning open from 7 to 8 a.m. and join us at Tour Talk.
And there is KFMB, Sports Talk Radio at 760. And that's mixing with Denver and maybe even a little Detroit tonight. Watch this guy here just south of us, 50 kilowatts in our direction.
Now, with John Gilliland on News Radio 770 KKOB.
Good evening. At 9:30, it's 70 degrees in Albuquerque. This is KKOB First News. The latest Israeli offensive on the West Bank.
All right, let's go up to 780 from 770.
Atlanta 6-2 over Philadelphia. Cincinnati beat the Reds again 3-2. And
there's a nice signal.
Montreal 7-5 in the American League. Toronto 11, the Yankees.
If I turn the antenna 90 degrees.
7-0. Kansas City won at Boston 8-5. Baltimore 15-6 over Tampa. Cleveland beat Minnesota 8-4. And they're in the 6-2.
I can hear Michael Medved.
Here we're 4-2. Diamondbacks lead.
I think.
Spivey.
Coming from Reno.
Drive out.
But I can't prove that.
Bautista at second. Miller at first.
And the strong signal.
Spivey takes it low, ball one. This is just a little.
Got us a little KAZM in Sedona, Arizona. Let's go to 810.
Have very high scores, and also in where the students have lower scores.
There's San Francisco, and if I turn this, I start to bring in a little bit of Sturgis, South Dakota, but not much of a signal there. KGO is doing the job here. Dallas should be solid. Well, listen to that. My goodness. All right, I can bring in WBAP if I set the loop just so. And I've got a little bit of interference in there from the tape recorder.
We can't do that.
But obviously, we have a competitor from south of us. And I pick that up by turning the antenna just a few degrees. Mercy. Let's try Dallas again.
Religion, right?
Yeah. All
right,
so these loops are incredible, aren't they, for direction, directionality?
So you're saying you want to empower the government.
All right, let's try 8:30.
You want the government step.
Now here, we've got a lot of sideband issues, and WCCO may or may not be in there, but we're not going to copy it unless it comes back out of the mud. The noise is coming from 840. Listen.
It is so wild. I cannot.
And that is being splattered by.
Good morning, Mr. Higgins.
850.
Your 11 o'clock appointment wants to reschedule.
The blowtorch of the West.
Oh, and I have you penciled in for an automobile accident at 3.
See if we can get anything out of 830. No, oh, there's 840. Let's back to that first. Well, we can do a little 840 here. If we're real careful and we null out the Denver sidebands, there's a little bit of... There it is. We just got to get this at a sacred angle. Get rid of the pest. There's Las Vegas, Nevada.
And people feel everything. The second most popular
thing. All right, that's 840. Now, let me carefully leave the antenna that way to null out Denver.
They go to the restaurant four times.
And let's go back to 830 and see if we can do CCO. There we go. A loop can be twisted in three dimensions quite effectively. And it isn't just a question of pointing it in the right direction, but it's a question of nulling unwanted signals that may be coming in at different angles by actually rotating the loop along its other axis, moving it back and forth as well as side by side. So a very poor job of copying 830, and of course part of that reason is because of this signal from Denver. Now, this is interesting. I want to show you something here. Remember I had this nulled to get the minimum effect from Denver? Here's where the loop is put to get the minimum effect from Denver. And listen to what's behind it.
There's a fastball strike. It's 2-1.
There are stations in Mexico, notably Chihuahua, which may be the closest to us, and Zaragoza, Coahuila, or Coahuila, Mexico. Both of them at lower power at night, but they're there when I null out Denver. Now I'll go back to pointing it toward Denver. And
so far this season,
obviously that's the way it should sound. All right, let's go to 870. Out here, there's a station in Laughlin in North Las Vegas. And it's possible that this music is coming from Laughlin, North Las Vegas. I do believe that they're into a Spanish format. All right, we aren't going to learn anything there. But looking at the night pattern book, it appears that there is more than enough signal coming out of North Las Vegas to put a 5-LED signal into this Sony tonight. And again, on 870, we're hearing the sidebands of KOA out here at night. Let's go to 880, which should be KRVN. That should not be a problem to copy here tonight. We'll try nulling KRVN and see if we can pull up the new station in Sabinito, New Mexico, if it's on the air.
If you must go,
well, there is a station there. That's the only signal on 880 in this neighborhood.
So that we can say we tried.
But this is the 50 kilowatt signal of KRVN, 890. Out here at St. George, Utah, again, we've got all kinds of things going on here. Mostly from the south. 890 out here is pushed away from Chicago, and so there's very little signal in our direction, and that's obvious by listening. Let me twist the loop. That may, in fact, be WLS in there. But the point we're trying to make here is not to identify the channel as much as to say there's another clear channel that has gone by the wayside. And that's part one of our clear channel band scan from Torrey, Utah. Mark Dernberger here for the DX Audio Service. We'll be back next month to complete this band scan. Till then, good listening, DXers. I know a lot of DX Audio Service members like to record radio stations, be that air checking or just a recording your favorite program for listening at a later date. So this is good news for those of us who like to use mini discs for that task. Sony Corporation has revamped the mini disc Walkman that doubles the recording capability of current discs and the new 1 gigabyte mini disc that records up to 45 hours of music. That's up from a current 80 minutes. The new offerings from the Japanese electronic and entertainment giant called HiMD attempts to make up for the qualities that were lacking in current mini-discs, such as sound quality and compatibility with personal computers, while keeping prices affordable, Sony officials said. Available in the United States in April and in Europe from April to June and Japan in June, the machines will sell for about the same price as current mini-disc Walkmans, ranging from about $280 to $420. However, the new discs will cost about $6.50. Presently, they're about 80 cents. Sound quality will approach that of compact discs, and HiMD will also download and upload to PCs. Currently, mini discs can be downloaded, but they cannot be uploaded to PCs. Other electronic manufacturers, such as Panasonic, are being approached to adopt the technology, and several, including Sharp Corporation and Kenwood, have expressed interest. HiMD also comes with copyright protection security, and the new discs can decode encrypted files so users can purchase music downloads, a business that is expected to grow globally. The machine matches the broadband era, and we hope to expand the overall music download market, Sony Deputy General Manager Tosomi Ayama told reporters at Tokyo Hall, where the new machines, which look very similar to the old versions, were shown. Sony's offering is a bid to better compete against digital audio products already on the market, such as Apple Computer's iPod, which holds up to 10,000 songs on a hard drive and is expected to make a big marketing push in Japan later this year. But analysts say prospects for HiMD aren't clear because the mini-disc format has not caught on outside of Japan. A mini-disc recorder and player sales in Japan, for example, is 60% of worldwide sales, while in Europe stands at about 24%. North America makes up just about 10%. Sony also announced that it's launching an online music service this spring in the United States called Kinect. Like a slew of new rivals in the market, Sony's site will sell songs for about 99 cents and most records for about $9.95. It will feature about 500,000 tracks from the major recording labels and independents, the company said. Sony plans to market the service by offering frequent flyer miles through United Airlines. Let's turn our sights on digital television for a moment, as there was just a recent court hearing. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia upheld regulations issued by the Federal Communications Commission last year to require most new television sets and recording devices to include a tuner capable of receiving a digital signal. The Consumer Electronic Association, the CEA, had challenged the rules as capricious and arbitrary abuse of the Commission's authority. The rules were supported by the broadcasting industry, which is in the process of converting from an analog signal to a digital signal. In its 20-page written opinion, the court noted that the CEA had challenged the regulations on the grounds that the Federal Communications Commission addressed a problem that does not exist, chose an irrational means to ensure that households can access digital television, and failed to reasonably assess the cost of its mandate to consumers. We find each of these arguments unpersuasive, the court wrote. On the issue of cost to consumers, for example, the court wrote that the commission had estimated the long-range costs of the digital tuner mandate, quote, within a sufficient range for the task at hand, unquote. The commission assessed the benefit of the regulations, which included speeding the congressionally mandated conversion to digital television and reclaiming the analog spectrum. We will not here second-guess the commission's weighing of costs and benefits, the court stated in denying a further review of the appeal. In a statement, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Michael Powell said that the court's ruling meant the commission
is still on track to have most television sets digitally ready by 2007. This will ensure that consumers are able to enjoy high-quality digital broadcast programming without the hassle and expense of hooking up a separate set-top box, Powell said. We're pleased that the court has upheld a key component of our digital television transition plan. As expected, Gary Shapiro, president and chief executive officer of CEA, expressed disappointment with the ruling. We're obviously disappointed by the D.C. Court of Appeal ruling, which we are still studying, Shapiro said. We will be reviewing the full opinion and consulting with our member companies. But, of course, we'll be compliant with any final court order, he said. Shapiro said that all industries involved in the transition from analog to digital television were working hard, and the consumer electronic industry was no exception. We're certainly reaching a critical tipping point a few weeks ago with the Federal Communications Commission's adopting of the historic cable plug-and-play agreement, he noted. Indeed, the commission needs to be vigilant in ensuring that the plug-and-play agreement was implemented with the interests of consumers in mind, Shapiro said. The National Association of Broadcasters President Edward Fritz called the decision a milestone toward completing the transition to digital television. Consumers buying television sets will know that the receivers they buy will continue to receive all broadcast signals, even as broadcasters change to digital, he said. And from digital television over to the D-Exchange we bound. Russ Edmonds at 753 Valley Road, Bluebell, Pennsylvania, 19422-2052. His email address is wb2bjh@nrcdxas.org, is offering the following for sale: a Cronheit Model 330M variable bandpass audio filter, 0.2 hertz to 20 kilohertz. It's in excellent condition, but is rather heavy. $100 or make an offer plus shipping. Also, a Heathkit SB620 Scanalyzer. That's a spectrum analyzer, modified for broadcast band DX by Bob Foxworthy. Complete with all spare parts, manual, and a copy of the modification article. It's in excellent condition. $100 or make an offer plus shipping. Finally, a Rustrack strip chart recorder, recording milliamp meter. It's in good condition. Reconditioned in 1983. Hardly used since. Includes a manual. $60 or make an offer plus shipping. If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, just pop it on a card, letter, or email, and send it to us here at the DX Audio Service. And now some sad news to report. The National Radio Club has lost two good members this past week with the death of Betty Lord and Clarence Cordray. Betty Lord was the widow of Carlton Lord, known to his Radex readers in the 1930s as Count de Verres. Ken Chatterton commented, "It is with great sorrow that I pass along a note on the passing of a great lady in the DX hobby. Betty Lord has passed away after a long illness. Betty rode to a number of conventions with me, and we were very good friends for many years. She always referred to convention goers as her boys. She was DX knowledgeable and a great friend. Betty Lord, rest in peace." Also, I just received news before press time here that Clarence Cordray passed away after a long illness. Clarence was 74 years old and lived in Cincinnati. Last time I got to meet Clarence was at the 2002 National Radio Club Convention. A fellow who really knew his radio stations and really enjoyed the hobby, as well as keeping in touch with those of you who are members of DX Audio Service and also his many friends in the Cincinnati area. Clarence Cordray, rest in peace. With that, let's flip over to side two of this cassette for the DX Audio Service, February 2004.
This is Canadian Forces Radio, CAE in Berle, Germany. Stay tuned for Pops on Parade.